Hey everyone, before we start the video, I need to make a humble request. I don't have any sponsors left because I'm not willing to compromise my principles on the Palestine issue. AdSense revenue has also fallen off a cliff. This operation is officially losing money, and that's not sustainable. If you appreciate the work we're doing here and you're in a position to help, please consider supporting us on Patreon. Every patron, regardless of pledge amount, gets early access to every video, plus access to our patrons-only Discord. We've got everything from a book club to educators ready to answer questions to live Q&As with me every month. If you're able to chip in even a dollar a month, I would greatly appreciate your support. Hope you enjoy the episode.
Yeah. This shows bright.
Today we're talking about TikTok, the app that started out as people doing funny dances and evolved into one of the most important news sources in history. The app where you can get lost down a rabbit hole of boar running around set to Nightcore, then get a 60-second masterclass in how the CIA works from a guy who doesn't say a single word. Why does the US government want to ban TikTok so badly? Let's find out.
This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe. A winner. A winner.
You just know she practiced that in the mirror and was like, yeah. That's fire. Okay, cringe politicians aside, where to begin with this whole TikTok saga? I guess let's start with a quick rundown on recent events. And I want to give a disclaimer here right up front. Production for this episode started on March 15th, so I might have to add in an update at some point in the video. I'll let you know if that ends up happening. Anyway, over the last week, Congress advanced federal legislation to force ByteDance, TikTok's parent company, to sell its shares in the US version of the app. And if they don't comply, the app will be banned. Why?
China.
What nation are you a citizen?
Singapore.
Are you a citizen of any other nation?
No, Senator.
Have you ever applied for Chinese citizenship?
Senator, I served my nation in Singapore. No, I did not.
Do you have a Singaporean passport?
Yes, and I served my military for two and a half years in Singapore.
Do you have any other passports from any other nations?
No, Senator.
Have you ever been a member of the Chinese Communist Party?
Senator, I'm Singaporean. No.
American politicians and the FBI have long claimed that TikTok constitutes a national security risk, that it's a Trojan horse for the Communist Party of China, basically saying that the CPC is using the app to spy on Americans. We'll get to the hypocrisy of that statement in a bit, but first, let's take a brief look at the history of this attempt to get rid of TikTok. Back in 2020, Trump made the first attempt to bonk the app by signing an executive order stating that TikTok would be banned in the US if it wasn't sold within 45 days. One White House official said at the time, quote, "This 45-day delay will give Microsoft and other interested purchasers the time to deal with TikTok's owners that adequately addresses the national security concerns posed by the app." No such deals were struck, and after some negotiations, ByteDance agreed to partner with US software giant Oracle to protect US data. Which is more than a little ironic, because 2 years later, Oracle got slapped with a lawsuit for collecting and selling personal data on millions of people. That data included full names, addresses, location details, political views, and online activity. Seems like a bad company to partner with if we care about data privacy, right? In 2022, we saw the official launch of the $1.5 billion Project Texas, referring to Oracle's Texas headquarters. TikTok began routing all its US user data through Oracle's cloud service, at which point Oracle supposedly vetted the app's algorithms and moderation tools to make sure there was no outside influence from the Chinese government. TikTok was fully compliant, having worked for over a year to partition its US version backend and code for US corporate approval. Despite the company jumping through all the hoops it was asked to, the Biden admin cranked up the pressure, banning TikTok from all federal US devices in February 2023. The following month, TikTok CEO Shouzi Chu was grilled by a panel of US politicians in a hearing more than a little reminiscent of McCarthy-era communist witch hunts. Chu came prepared with relevant data, including the correct assessment that US software has a clear track record of abusing user privacy while TikTok does not. But that sort of thing doesn't really matter when the panel isn't actually there to collect information. As TikTok spokesperson Brooke Oberwetter reported to US media after the event, quote, "The day was dominated by political grandstanding that failed to acknowledge the real solutions already underway." 2 months later, in May 2023, we began to see the first state-level TikTok bans, with some more extreme than others. the state of Montana was on course to ban the app entirely, threatening ISPs with a $10,000 per day per violation fine for allowing the app to be downloaded. This law was set to go into effect January 1st, 2024, but it got shot down in federal court in November of 2023. And that just about brings us to today. On Wednesday, March 13th, the House passed a bill that will force TikTok to sell to US buyers within 165 days. It wasn't particularly close either, with 352 voting for the ban and just 65 against. What makes this bill particularly interesting is the speed with which it was discussed and sent to a vote. From introduction to floor vote took just 4 days. Funny how politicians will ban the world's most popular app in under a week, but won't give the American people affordable healthcare, or do anything about school shootings, or skyrocketing housing costs, or reproductive rights, or climate change, or the ongoing genocide in which they are complicit. Anyway, Biden has said he'll sign the bill if it passes in the Senate. So there we go, you're all caught up. The question now is, why? Why is the US government so adamant about banning TikTok? They use the China excuse, but China has never threatened us. If anything, we're economically dependent on China for the cheap goods that poorly paid Americans couldn't afford to buy otherwise. Not to mention the fact that if our government actually cared about data privacy, they'd crack down on Facebook, or Oracle, or Google, or any number of other US corporations that do the same exact thing they're accusing TikTok of doing. It should be clear to anyone paying attention that this was never about data security. So, what is it about? Well, a couple of things. Let's start with one that would be funny if it weren't so scary. Those kids and their dang iPhones.
What?
Foreign adversary control of what is becoming the dominant news platform for Americans under 30. This is a common sense measure to protect our national security. I urge my colleagues to support this critical bipartisan legislation.
The dominant news platform for Americans under 30. Let's unpack that. The United States relies on propaganda, like any other country, to ensure that its people are getting the information the ruling class wants them to get. In capitalist countries like the US, that propaganda is bought by lobbying groups and powerful corporations, laundered through corrupt politicians, and dutifully repeated on the corporate media and Silicon Valley social media apps. What does it mean for the status quo if the majority of Americans, and more critically, young Americans, entire generations of youth, are not getting their news from state-approved sources? That's a one-way ticket to unrest, to people getting fed up with how bad things have gotten, to protests and marches that the US would rather not have to suppress. When the US ruling class sees an app that is not owned by US oligarchs and tech bros, it immediately becomes a threat because they can't curate the feeds. They can't tweak the algorithm to prefer State Department talking points. There's a reason Lenin said, "Give me just one generation of youth and I'll transform the whole world." Revolutionaries recognize that the youth are the future, and the best way to either enforce or break the status quo is to win the hearts and minds of the next generation. It shouldn't come as a surprise that the most vocal supporters of Palestinian liberation are young people. They don't get fed pro-Israel propaganda on cable news, or Facebook, or in the New York Times. I made a video about the US media's complicity in the genocide a couple weeks ago. You can check that out if you'd like to see exactly how this consent manufacturing works. The bottom line in the media aspect of all this is that TikTok is the only widely used media platform that is not directly beholden to the US ruling class. In order to maintain the deeply inhumane and worsening status quo, the US regime must control every single aspect of what Americans consider news. But going back to the young people marching for change, that brings us to the second big reason the US is so eager to ban TikTok. It's becoming inconvenient for the foreign government that actually is meddling in US affairs. Israel. Remember Mike Gallagher, that guy you saw a couple minutes ago? The one complaining that the kids aren't consuming US propaganda? Would you like to venture a guess who his biggest contributors are? In the 2022 cycle, it was AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, a rabidly pro-Israel and incredibly powerful lobbying group that, coincidentally, also heavily funds Joe Biden, the man who, for some reason, can't bring himself to stop sending weapons to the rogue state committing the most obvious genocide in modern history. And it's not just these two. Almost every single US politician has accepted money from the Israel lobby.
APAC Political Action Committee, APAC-PAC, filed something called a Statement of Organization with the FEC just in time for the 2022 election cycle, where it spent $50 million, including both direct contributions to candidates and outside spending like TV advertisements. According to APAC, it donated money to 365 candidates from both parties, including every single member of both Democratic and Republican leadership in Congress.
We'll get back to the Israel lobby in a sec, but I also want to highlight that Gallagher's biggest donor in the past election cycle has been Palantir, the software company literally named after an evil orb used by dark forces to spy on people. It shouldn't surprise you that Palantir, founded by the notorious Silicon Valley billionaire Peter Thiel, worked with the NSA to create the most comprehensive digital espionage apparatus ever conceived. Palantir was co-created with American spies. One of its earliest investors was the CIA, and the company will not disclose any of its contracts with the government, despite making over $1 billion from these clandestine partnerships. Forgive me if I'm just a little skeptical about the intentions of this anti-spying bill, given that its main sponsor is funded by the world's largest spying machine. I feel like I need to get out some red string or something. This stuff goes deep. Anyway, back to the Israel lobby. And before we go any further, I think it's important to put a little disclaimer here. There are bad actors online trying to weaponize the rightful criticism of Israel to push an anti-Semitic agenda. I'll put it bluntly. If you are one of those people, you will be banned from my comment section on site. You are not welcome here. You cannot equate Zionism with Judaism. The two have nothing to do with each other, as evidenced by the horrific treatment of devout Jews at the hands of the fascist Zionist forces. The only reason some people are confused at the distinction is because it's convenient for the Israeli apartheid regime to conflate Zionism with Judaism, and therefore all their propaganda revolves around trying to get people to think that condemnation of Israel is the same as hatred of Jewish people. This will go down in history as some of the most damaging anti-Semitic propaganda ever devised, and we all need to reject it. All right, we all on the same page? Disclaimer over. Now let's take a look at how Israel is able to influence this TikTok legislation and why they're so desperate to do it. Here are some quick stats. TikTok has about 103 million active users in the US. More than 1 in 3 mobile internet users actively engage with the app. Half of the user base is between the ages of 10 and 29, and half the content creators are between 18 and 24. So you've got a massive user base, which also skews quite young. Now look at this. Pro-Palestinian sentiment vastly, and I really mean vastly, outnumbers pro-Israel content. Millions of users, millions of posts, an endless stream of content cataloging and explaining Israel's crimes against humanity. If I'm an Israeli official and I see two whole generations of young people rightly condemning my fascist project, I'm gonna do everything in my power to shut down that platform. But don't just take it from me. Here's some leaked audio from a phone call with ADL chief executive Jonathan Greenblatt.
I also want to point out that we have a major generational problem. All the polling I've seen, ADL's polling, ICC's polling, independent polling, suggests this is not a left-right gap, folks. The issue in the United States' support for Israel is not left and right. It is young and old. And so we really have a TikTok problem, a Gen Z problem, that our community needs to put the same brains that gave us Tagalog, the same brains that gave us all these other amazing innovations, need to put our energy toward this, like, fast. Because again, like, we've been chasing this left-right divide. It's the wrong game. The real game is the next generation.
Again, here we have someone who understands that the next generation will be the determining factor in what the world looks like for the next 50 years. But instead of trying to advocate for positive change or an end to the genocide, the ADL and APAC and the rest of the Israel lobby is trying to shut down the people's ability to access vital information about the state of the world. They are actively trying to hide Israeli war crimes because it makes them look bad. So, just in case I haven't been perfectly clear, there is a foreign government meddling in US affairs. But it's not China, it's Israel. This bill was never about China supposedly spying on US citizens. The government doesn't care about that. They haven't even provided any evidence to support their claims. This is just a clear example that the empire is spooked by a media outlet they don't control, they want to force the company to sell so that they can control it, and the process is being expedited because the Israel lobby has enormous sway in our political machinery. Money, corruption, the maintenance of empire. That's all this is. And so there are a few main takeaways from this whole TikTok saga. First, the United States wants to make sure it has a monopoly on collecting and selling our data, as well as a complete control over our media landscape. Second, a genocidal apartheid regime is blatantly meddling in our affairs to prevent people from opposing the genocide. And third, any time the government tells you they can't move quickly on an issue, they are lying through their teeth. From introduction to vote to the president promising to sign the bill in less than a week. They can pass whatever they want. It just so happens that will never be what we want. They'll move quickly for war or to cover for genocide, but they won't protect our children in school. They won't codify reproductive rights. They won't do anything about climate change. This is the bottom line when we're talking about capitalist regimes. The dominance of capital is always 100% of the time the thing that gets government action. AIPAC money? Great. Fossil fuel money? Great. Pharmaceutical money? Great. Improving the lives of their people? Walking back from the brink of nuclear war? Stopping a genocide? Not a chance. I always end these videos with a call to action to get organized. Join a socialist organization. Build dual power structures and class consciousness. Mass mobilization is the only thing that's worked in the past, and it's the only thing that'll work today. But I also want people to really think about the world we're living in. This isn't me as a YouTuber trying to make a cool video anymore. This is me as a human being living in 2024 with you. What's it going to take to get Americans to open their eyes to the fact that we are living in a violent, decaying empire that does not care whether we live or die? As long as the ruling class can still squeeze out a profit, they will keep this machine churning until the wheels fall off and we're all crushed. I'm asking you as a person now. Please, follow one of the links in the description and join some socialist organization. I don't care which one. Go to some meetings, see what you think, and then come back to the comments here and tell me which one you chose and what projects your chapter is working on. That's the only way we build a world that is better than the one we've got now. At the end of the day, we're all just people. The ones in charge, the ones banning apps, cracking down on our rights to protest, committing a genocide, they're just people. We outnumber them thousands of times over. They know that, and their main objective is to make sure you don't know that. Well, now you do. What are you going to do about it? You're going to get involved. Right now, today.